Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for Warriors This Week. Brought to you by Oaks Card Club. Play smart, play at Oaks.
Durant for three, way downtown.
Now, here's Matt Stymiest and Sean Dickinson.
All right, welcome in. Wow, what a week it's been in the NBA and surrounding the Golden State Warriors. John Dickinson, Matt Stymiest, Warriors This Week with you on a Saturday, as we do each and every Saturday here on 95.7 The Game, getting you closer to the Warriors and the Lakers tonight out at Oracle Arena, nationally televised affair, 5:30 tip-off. LeBron James is back. Steiny, we don't know if Klay Thompson's going to be able to go, but anytime these two teams face each other, now with LeBron James back in the fold, it's a big, big night and a big, big day of NBA hoops.
Yeah, it really is, and it's going to cap off just a crazy week, JD, with it starting with Anthony Davis requesting a trade, and then the next thing you know, there's a report that if Davis can get to L.A., and the Warriors don't offer Klay the max, he might look to go to the Lakers. And then Kyrie Irving later in the week says that he's not necessarily automatically re-signing with Boston.
And then you start wondering, where's Kyrie going to go? Is Kyrie going to go to the Knicks, who, oh, by the way, cleared the deck by trading Kristaps Porzingis to Dallas? And now they've got a couple of veteran players in Wes Matthews and DeAndre Jordan that could be buyout options for teams, but the Knicks big picture clearing the deck for Kevin Durant potentially, and maybe Kyrie Irving or another max player. So all of this rumor and speculation and innuendo and conversation around the league, it all dials back to what's going on with the Golden State Warriors, because they're the team on the top of the mountain that everybody's trying to either take away from or take down if possible.
Let me ask you this. If you were a Warrior fan, or you're just somebody who doesn't think Kevin Durant's going anywhere, if you think he's going to re-sign with the Warriors, this has to at least impact you a little bit and the way you think about it, doesn't it? The fact that the Knicks now have two slots available and two max slots available, and Durant's the big prize. I think it's less far-fetched now than it's ever been.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Although, again, nobody knows what's going on inside Kevin Durant's head. And that's, you know, what it comes back to. I mean, I recall the show that we did basically 3 years ago today, although it wasn't February 3rd. It was the day before the Super Bowl, when the Warriors had a high-profile game against Oklahoma City at Oracle Arena on national television that night. The night before the Super Bowl down at Levi's Stadium, and that was the week that the reports surfaced, and it had already been reported generally, but the more specific reports of the Warriors' interest in Kevin Durant when he becomes a free agent at that point 5 months later down the line in 2016, and we spent the whole show talking about what the heck's Kevin Durant going to do then? You know, the Warriors were on their way to a 73-9 season at that point. I mean, we did the show where we were asking fans, do you want to just keep it together?
Right.
Or
right.
Do you want to, you know, go get Kevin Durant? And that was 3 years ago. So, and I think even at that point in time, the belief was in February that he was probably still going to stay in Oklahoma City.
Right.
Well, he didn't. And that changed the course of NBA history. And I think when you look big picture right now, the Warriors are on top of the mountain. They are the favorites. They are the front runners. They are the team. I mean, I'd be stunned if they don't win the championship this year, 2019, 4.5 months from now, you know, in June. I would be stunned. But the reality is right now, Steiny, is you've got teams either trying to take something away from the Warriors in Kevin Durant, or try and load up to be able to beat them this year, potentially. If you look at the Lakers trying to add an Anthony Davis into the mix, if they can get that done in the next week. But it's twofold, and it centers around all of this conversation about player movement, which has become, it's become bigger than the individual games.
No doubt. I mean, it is. And I was talking to Guru about this yesterday. I think the reason that the off-court stuff has become more important and more exciting and more talked about than on-the-court thing is because there's a general belief among fans that the Warriors are going to win it. The Warriors are going to win it this year. And they're probably going to win it easily. They're far and away the most talented team. They've got two consecutive titles in their back pocket already. They've got more experience than everybody else. They've been through it. That's why this has become so interesting. Let me ask you this. If the Warriors were among five really good teams right now, let's just say the Warriors were on a par with Philly, Boston. Let's throw Houston, Denver in there. I don't think this would be as, first of all, I'm not sure this would be going on to this extent, but I don't think it would be talked about like it is because there would still be, well, wait, hey, who's going to win it this year? Well, the Warriors are going to win it this year. That's why there's so much interest in all this, because it's setting up the Warriors not to win it next year.
Yeah, at that point, the competition of it all down the stretch of the season and on into the playoffs, because you would have such a believed unknown, that I think would absolutely take precedent.
Right.
The games would be more interesting, the matchups. How is this team going to defend that team? You know, the X's and O's of it a little bit more. And look, there's still fun to be had with that as far as a handful of games between now and the end of the regular season and on into the playoffs. Tonight actually happens to be one of those games.
Right.
Well, with LeBron James back in the fold, and you go back to Christmas night and what the Lakers were able to do with LeBron James and then without LeBron James when he left that game due to injury, you know, that's still something not for nothing that you have to file away.
Right.
Although we don't know if Klay Thompson's going to play tonight. DeMarcus Cousins is in the fold. He wasn't in the fold back on Christmas. So I do think there is some individual intrigue to certain games and certain matchups. But no, big picture, it's about, okay, if the Warriors are going to win the championship this year, well, where is Anthony Davis going to go, and is that going to change the balance of power? Does where Anthony Davis goes affect Klay Thompson and the decision that he's going to have to make in the offseason? Is everything the Knicks are doing or attempting to do by clearing the deck going to change the dynamic of what Kevin Durant may or may not do moving forward in free agency? And then you have, you know, this Kyrie Irving deal where he was essentially a lock to stay in Boston, said it himself before the season started, and now he's dialing that back and saying, well, ask me on July 1st.
Yeah.
While Madison Square Garden is chanting, we want Kyrie, when the Knicks are playing the Celtics last night.
Yeah, it's
wild.
It's incredible.
The NBA is wild. And then you got all this other junk like Anthony Davis Sr., you know, popping off to ESPN saying that, you know, he wouldn't want his son playing for the Celtics because of how they did Isaiah Thomas. Are you kidding me? Are you freaking kidding me? I mean, not to get off on a tangent, but what a freaking joke Anthony Davis Sr. is. I mean, your son quits on the Pelicans in the last week of January. Quits. I'm done. I'm out. I'm leaving. He quits. And you're talking about loyalty to Isaiah freaking Thomas, not the Hall of Famer that played for the Pistons, but the guy that had one great season with the Celtics.
I wonder if the other thing that might be going through some fans' minds is Kyrie Irving said, my plan is to re-sign with Boston. Well, you know what? There's somebody else that's been saying all along, my plan's to re-sign with the Warriors. Been saying it for years. It just goes to show you, I'm not saying Clay's going to do it, but until you sign a contract.
Well, Kevin Durant was staying with Oklahoma City,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. And by the sounds of it, you know, it Boston was in play. Boston had a shot at him, and the Warriors got him, which we all know. But I think next year is going to be a lot different. The league is going to look a lot different. And I also do think, forget about where Durant goes. I think there's a group of these six, eight guys that have realized they're not going to be able to beat the Warriors just, well, I'm going to go here, and then maybe, you know, in a year we'll get a good pick. And desperate, I really think it's a case of desperate times call for desperate measures. And if you look at the Warriors objectively, how are you going to get past them? If Kevin Durant re-signs with the Warriors, okay, I mean, how do you beat them next year, next 2 years? Well, the only way you can beat them is if Anthony Davis is with LeBron James, is with Kyrie Irving, who's, you know, and Durant's got to leave if the Warriors, you know, if you want to beat the Warriors, Durant's going to have to leave. And where's Kawhi Leonard going when it's all said and done? So I don't know if it's going to shake out by the February 7th, but I do think that next year things are going to look different in the NBA.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. The Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. If you went to weigh in on just a myriad of different topics today, I mean, just a wild week. You know, the other thing you could just throw on the table, too, is there a destination where, like, could Anthony Davis go anywhere in the next week? Although it's 5 days now, right? Because the trade deadline is Thursday. If Anthony Davis could go anywhere in the next 5 days, is there anywhere he could go where if you're a Warriors fan, you're thinking, uh-oh, that's trouble?
Not really. I mean, obviously, to me, the number one place would be L.A. Okay, so he goes to L.A., but they're going to have to give something up. So they'll have Anthony Davis, they'll have LeBron James, and they'll probably be without two of their three pretty good young players who went to the Pelicans in the deal. So I don't think they'll be ready to beat them. I think they'll take a step up, no doubt. But I don't know if they'd be ready to knock the Warriors off in the playoffs this year. I still think they'd need, and again, I mean, yes, if you drop Anthony Davis onto the Lakers and they still have Kuzma, Ingram, and Lonzo Ball, well, yeah, that's a different story. But they're going to, the Lakers are going to get depleted a little bit when they make that move. And I just don't know if they're going to have enough around those two guys to beat a team like the Warriors.
Well, and anytime you're making a move with 30 games to go in a season,
yes,
too, you limit the opportunity for your new group, whatever that group is, to gel and come together and be able to be a force in a possible playoff series. All right, 888-957-9570. We got a great show for you. Mark Spears, senior writer, NBA writer for The Undefeated. He's going to join us at 10:30. Tim Bontemps of ESPN at 11:30. He's real piped into everything that's going on in the Eastern Conference. Good to see Bontemps out at Oracle on Thursday night with the Sixers taking on the Warriors. He ended up going back east for the Knicks and the Celtics, because that's where the news was. So he had a long flight on Friday to get back and cover that. And Tim Roy, the voice of the Warriors as well. Your phone calls coming up. It's Warriors This Week with J.D. and Steiny on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, rolling on here on a Saturday. John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz. Busy day of NBA hoops and NBA conversation on 95.7 The Game. Warriors and Lakers tonight. That's a 5:30 tip from Oracle. Warriors Live with Steiny and Guru comes your way at 4 o'clock. And we are with you until 1 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game. 888-957-9570. We're talking about Anthony Davis. Where do you think he will wind up? Is there a spot where he could wind up in the next 5 days, if you're a Warriors fan, where you would go, uh-oh, Steiny and I not so sure there actually is a landing spot for Davis currently where that would be the case. And then we're just talking about all this potential player movement, whether it's what the Knicks are doing to clear the deck, what happens with Davis, what happens with Kyrie Irving, and how that potentially could change the balance of power this offseason, with the Warriors being the obvious favorite to win a third consecutive championship and a fourth title in the last 5 years. 888-957-9570. That's where Scott in Berkeley gets us tipped off here on Warriors This Week on a Saturday on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Scott, how are you?
Fine. How you guys doing?
Good.
You know, what I'm looking at and what I'm saying is that the NBA business platform has started becoming almost a playground mentality. You have a management agency by comparison, David Falk back in the day, he controlled, I believe, what was it, 25 of the top 40 players in the league. But we know that Falk managed one, just basically had one client above all, and he made that guy a ton of money. He's made his family a ton of money. With clutch sports, what you have is a situation where they're managing for one specific player. That's why AD is suddenly on the market. That's why Rich Paul cost AD 8 minutes of game check by saying, we want him to go to a title contender, but, you know, indicating Los Angeles. Dell Demps probably should have come back and immediately said, well, if you want him to go to a title contender, why are you throwing the Lakers into this? If there's any place...
You mean because they're not a contender right now?
Well, I mean, that's I don't think they're a contender.
Well, I mean, the question is, do they become one with Anthony Davis? Do they become one with
Thanks,
Anthony
Scott.
Davis?
We appreciate the call. We'll keep
but
it moving.
He's... I mean, his... comparison to a playground is not off base.
No, it's...
I mean, guys are, you know, you look, if you ever gone to a playground, there's 15, 20 guys and there's a game going on and you're not playing the next five, well, then you're trying to, hey, I see Jim over there. He's like the best player here. Get Jim and Harry. Harry's a great rebounder, and you try to politic to get your team. I mean, that's
look, the agents
exactly the thing.
And the players turned out to be smarter than the league in this whole thing.
You know, that's a good point.
The agents and the players turned out to be smarter than the league because when the last collective bargaining agreement was tweaked, the whole agenda behind that was to prevent the player movement from happening the way that it's actually happened.
Which is to incentivize players to stay put. And they found that even though they did that, it's not working. Anthony Davis is trying to leave New Orleans. Now, Kawhi Leonard wanted out of San Antonio. They're going about it different ways. Some guys are waiting until free agency, but this is kind of the way it is right now. You're right. It hasn't worked out like the league has thought.
The belief is, well, Kawhi Leonard's going to wind up staying in San Antonio because he can make a ton more
right.
money with San Antonio over the long term. I mean, DeMarcus Cousins was a player that was, I think, expected to be signed to a supermax kind of a contract with Sacramento going back a couple of years. Now, Sacramento was the part of that equation that decided not to do that, thus trading him. But now you've also got, you know, Kevin Durant decides where he's going to go. Obviously, via free agency, his right. But I think the issue in play here is not players deciding where they want to go when they're free agents, but it's, you know, Kyrie Irving already one time said, I want out of Cleveland while he was
right.
under contract. Anthony Davis is saying, not only I want out of the Pelicans, but I don't want to go here or there or there. I want to go to the Lakers, essentially, saying
yeah.
it without saying it or having his people say it. I think that's where... That's where there's a problem because the belief for a long time is, okay, these guys, the NBA players, they're paid an astronomical amount of money. Well, the reason they're paid in part an astronomical amount of money is because they don't always get to choose exactly where they're going
right.
to play.
Right.
But now it's like having your cake and eating it too at this point. You're getting all the money and you're still finding ways to facilitate yourself to play with your friends, to play with guys that you know you think better complement your talents, to try and win championships, whatever that may be. But it's not what the league intended. And I think, again, the only way I can boil it down is the agents and the players outsmarted the owners and the league because they figured out ways to circumvent a system that was originally designed to keep them locked in to essentially where they start their careers.
Right. Absolutely. And again, you're right. It's Anthony Day. It's here. Tell me what you think of this kind of analogy. Steve Ashburner, the longtime writer, about 5 or 6 years ago, he wrote, he was on one of our shows and he talked about how the DNPs, you know, did not play rest or did not dress rest. It became a kind of a status thing among the players. Like, if you were a player good enough to be able to tell the coach, I need a day off tonight, then you're a big boy. You know what I mean? LeBron and the Tim Duncans and those guys. And then we saw the Warriors get into it a little bit. That, to me, is kind of like what's happening now. In order to prove you're a big boy, you've got to be able to dictate where you go. You know, and the extreme example would be, yeah, you know, Anthony Davis is going to get to L.A. either now or in a year and a half, okay? That's going to happen. He will get there. Other end of the spectrum, let's say, and this is way other end of the spectrum, is a Patrick McCaw. He's not nearly in those guys' league. He tries to do that, and they're like, beat it. You can't do that. You know what I mean? I mean, we don't. So I think players like Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, Durant, certainly, LeBron, they're the new kind of power brokers in the NBA, especially because in this day and age, these guys are so close off the court, you can work on stuff.
Chilton Autobody text line, 925. I don't understand why everyone keeps saying the Warriors are huge favorites and have it already made to win this year's championship. They've been getting beat at home by other contending teams in the East. Philly beat them the other night.
Toronto, Bucks, Clay Thompson. Lakers, Rockets.
Yeah. Even Philly. Oklahoma City, they were shorthanded, though. The Warriors were severely shorthanded that night. Steiny? I mean, every loss has a story. That's one thing I always say, especially when you're the Warriors.
That's true. I mean, their record, a couple weeks ago was, I think, 9-12 against good teams. Then they turned that upside down a little bit. But no, they have struggled against good teams for the most part this year, at home or on the road. I mean, what's their record at home? They got 5 or 6 losses at home, probably.
They have 7 losses.
Yeah, I mean that's.
They have 18. They have 8. They're 18-7. They're basically the same. They're 18 and 7. They're 18-8.
Okay.
Half game difference, home and away. They've played one fewer home game, which they'll obviously even up tonight. 36-15. They're actually tied with Denver again. Denver, 8 of their last 10.
Is that what they? They played a nice game the other night. Denver did against.
I played a nice game last night against the Rockets.
The Pelicans, they played before that. They played a good game against the Pelicans.
I mean, you look at the Nuggets, right? And the Nuggets were as hot as anybody in the NBA, just to spend 15 seconds on this. They lost to the Warriors, got run out a couple weeks ago. What was that, on the 15th of January in their building? Warriors beat them by 30. But then they won a couple, lost at Utah, but then they win 5 more. I mean, they've just picked right back up. So their last 2 losses are at Utah, okay? That's not an easy game, and Utah's playing great. And to the Warriors at home, when the Warriors had that game circled in big red ink on their calendar. So, I mean, you know, by the way, tonight's going to determine who coaches the All-Stars.
Really?
Michael Malone and Steve Kerr.
Oh, my gosh.
So if the Warriors come out flat, I'm just kidding.
Well, hold on a sec. Hold on a sec. So what happens if they both win?
I believe if they both win, the Nuggets staff goes, because they're tied right now, but there's a half game lead for the Nuggets in terms of conference record. But I got to double or triple
because
check that.
Well, because
the Nuggets and Nuggets
the
and Warriors,
Warriors
are tied
didn't go
right
last
now.
Year. Steve Kerr didn't coach.
He's
last
eligible because you can't do it 2 years
right,
in a row.
Right.
So he's eligible. So like, if the Warriors win tonight and the Nuggets lose at Minnesota,
Steve Kerr's going to
Steve
Charlotte.
Steve Kerr's staff has won an all-expenses-paid trip to Charlotte, North
Let
Carolina.
Let me ask you something. Wait, do you really want to go? Come on.
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't.
Especially if you've been to All-Star Weekends before.
To paraphrase Steve Kerr, I would much rather be laying on a beach somewhere. Sand in my toes and a cold beer in my hand.
But you know what? That's the one thing where Kerr is phenomenal. Because
it's going to go from I'd rather land on the beach to it's a tremendous honor.
Exactly.
Between 3:45
exactly.
and 8:15
exactly.
tonight.
Exactly. But and that's why he's such a great guy, is because he doesn't want to go, but if he has to go, he'll put on a good face and he'll.
Tremendous honor.
Yes, it is. Really a tremendous honor. So few coaches get to do what I've gotten to do way too many times now.
James in Pleasant Hill is up next on the phone lines. here on 95.7 The Game. James, you're on Warriors This Week with JD and Steiny. What's up, James?
I'm doing good, guys. How you guys doing?
Great.
Well, my thought process on this whole thing is that, to me, it's not like, granted, it's nice to make money, but nobody wants to be Charles Barkley. Nobody wants to be one of the best who's ever done it, who never won a championship. It's the team's responsibility to put guys around that key piece to win a championship. You think Anthony Davis even thinks he's close to winning a championship in New Orleans? And then they wonder why he wants to leave? Who cares about the $20 million when you're going to be named on a list of the best guys who ever did it, who never won anything?
Yeah, and I know Anthony Davis hasn't played the last handful of games, but to your point, I mean, the Pelicans are 23-29 and 13th out of 15 teams in the Western Conference. I mean, if that doesn't say get me the hell out of here, I don't know what does. Thanks, James. Appreciate the call.
Well, how far are they? Well, let's not forget they made the playoffs last year and they swept Portland. They got to the Western Conference semifinal.
Yeah,
chopped liver.
8-9 months ago, we were talking about they're hanging with the Warriors.
Right.
This could be a team that might give them trouble.
Here's one of the things I was thinking about Anthony Davis and why he probably, one of the reasons he wants out. I was thinking about this. So last year, you and I have gone back and forth on this a lot. But for the sake of this, I'll agree. The Pelicans were better with DeMarcus Cousins last year than they were without him. And they never got to play with Cousins and Miritich together. So
yeah.
They wouldn't have, right. Right, yeah.
Well, they were playing well with Cousins.
Exactly.
And then Cousins went down,
right.
And they added Miritich, and they actually played better with Miritich.
Okay, so now you're the Pelicans. You go into the playoffs. You sweep the Portland Trailblazers. And you know what? You lose to the Warriors, but you played pretty well. Because you lost to the Warriors, and you still got DeMarcus Cousins you're going to re-sign. Or are you? See, I think really what we're going on, I think the timing of this also is important. It happened when DeMarcus Cousins came back from his injury. I think Anthony Davis was in New Orleans, and 3-4 weeks ago, they start talking about Cousins coming back. Anthony Davis puts on the TV, watches Cousins play a couple games, sees what everybody else sees, that he looks a little better than everybody thought. And Anthony Davis is like, you got to be kidding me. You didn't re-sign this guy. You've got to be kidding.
And
you
that
didn't
pushed
re-sign.
Him over the
yes,
top.
Especially when you're 20 and 26 and you can't get any traction. I do think that was more than just a coincidence.
That's a great point. And that's something I hadn't thought of. But that actually does make a lot of sense, because you're absolutely right. You add Miritich and you get to that level, and going into that offseason, if you're Anthony Davis, you're thinking, all right, Drew Holiday's back. I mean, even a guy like Rajon Rondo, who was a key mm-hmm. cog, you know, they wind up not bringing him back, and they haven't been better for it. You know?
I mean, now you start thinking, Rondo, Holiday, Miritich, Davis, Cousins,
that team might be top four
exactly.
In the West.
That team ain't that far maybe away. So, you know, that's just the one thing I was thinking. I mean, if it's got to be tough if you're think about being a Pelicans fan too. You're a Pelicans fan who now sees DeMarcus Cousins playing in Golden State, and now Davis wants out. I'd be upset at their management too right now. And you know why? Because it does sound like Cousins would have gone back to New Orleans for 1 year, $12 to $15 million. I think he would have gone back for that.
Maybe on the 15 side.
Okay, but you're not dismissing the 1 year.
No, I think he probably resigned himself to the fact that he was probably going to have to take 1 year. But I think he thought he would be able to get 1 year, $15 to $20 million.
Yeah. And
to play it out and get healthy and come back.
To play half a season in fairness.
And then when that didn't work out for him, he's like, well, okay, well, I'll just sign with the Warriors for the mid-level and we'll play it out that way, and I'll rehab and come back and get a ring on top of it.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the one thing I was thinking about when it comes to the Pelicans.
Let's keep it moving on the phone lines. Is it Kurt? Kurt in Oakland on 95.7 The Game? Kurt?
Yep, that's me, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have two possible ideas. One, and they're both long shots for where Anthony Davis
could go, which probably won't happen. The first one is the Spurs, because I could just see him pairing up with LaMarcus Aldridge and DeRozan, and, you know, they have the structure to work with bigs, and I think he'd be content there if he fell in line with the system. The other one would be Milwaukee, pairing him at power forward and having Antetokounmpo at small forward and Brook Lopez at center. And that would be a tall, you know, durable front line that would put some threat in the East and maybe give, you know, the Warriors a threat if they made it that far. But those are really the only two teams that I think would be the biggest threat to the Warriors if he went to one of them.
I'm going to throw another one in there, Kurt, to tell you what I was thinking about this yesterday. If I'm Toronto, all right, I go to Kawhi Leonard and I say, hey, if we get Anthony Davis, will you resign here? And if he says yes, then I throw Siakam on the table. And you know what? I might even throw Kyle Lowry on the table if that's who they want. Because that's a deep team. They've got some quality players. And from some of the things I've been reading, New Orleans thinks Siakam's more of has a bigger upside than some of the Laker players.
Interesting.
So I that's just one thing. I mean, the thing about Anthony Davis is, and I get the people are going, well, he's only won one playoff series. How good can he be if this team was 22-2? I get all that, but there's another part of him that's so good, you almost could give up two really good players for him and start, like, if the Lakers trade everybody and they get it and they're at the end of the day sitting with Davis and LeBron James, well, now they're just one move away, really, from maybe being the best team in the NBA. So, and you look at, like, the Knicks now. I mean, the Knicks, it's now conceivable the Knicks could go into next season with Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Zion Williamson. How do they look now? So that's why I think this offseason is going to just be really fascinating. We're going to see some big, big movement, and it's going to change the landscape. And it's going to impact the Warriors. The Warriors are still going to be in the mix next year, I think, no matter what happens. Even if they lose Durant.
May be on top still.
Well, if the right guys don't team up at the right places.
I mean, what if they keep Durant? I mean, I know the conversation is still, well, you know, I think it feels like more people than not think Durant's going to leave.
Right.
So, but what if he stays?
Yeah. Well, then the Warriors are still the favorites no matter what happens.
And good luck to the rest of the league.
Right.
At that point, I mean, you can go get this guy, that guy, team up, you know, whatever. I mean, obviously, eventually, Time is undefeated, and eventually the Warriors will start to decline, even if they keep the current group together for years to come. But, I mean, if they keep Durant...
Well, the other thing is if...
I'm not saying they're not the favorite.
No, if they keep Durant... Well, I was going to even take it the other way. If Durant goes somewhere, let's say he goes to New York, the Warriors aren't going to fall off the face of the earth.
No, they'd still be in the mix, and they'd add other players. Not a star, necessarily, but they would be able to add other role players, maybe build their depth back up and go at it a different way.
I mean, I think, personally, as just a fan of basketball, yeah, I'd like to see Durant go somewhere else at the end of this season, put the Warriors in the mix with another six or eight teams who all maybe have a chance to win it. That's what I'd like to see next year after the last 3 years we've seen. Give me six teams able to win it.
Antonio in Oakland is up next here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Antonio.
Oh, hey, guys. You know, if the Lakers trade all those players, those four guys they mentioned, you know, Ball, Kuzma, Ingram, and Zubac for Ant Davis, it's like they won't have any depth. You know, it's like Anthony Davis is super talented, but, you know, you need some depth. It's kind of like how, like, you know, Aaron Rodgers, the most talented quarterback we ever seen. You know, he's getting paid so much, they don't have any money to put depth around him. So what does that equal? What does that end up getting them? No playoffs for the second straight year. So, you know, it'll be kind of similar to that, but in the basketball way, of course. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, you got to have something.
Yeah. Antonio, you're talking to the wrong guy about Aaron Rodgers, but that's all right.
Oh, okay. Are you an Aaron Rodgers fan?
Nah, JD's not a big Rodgers guy.
He's a great quarterback. I think he's a little overrated as far as greatest talent we've ever seen at the quarterback position, because he hasn't really elevated his squad with regularity. If he's that guy, then he should have more than one Super Bowl at this point. If he's that guy, if he's the god of all quarterbacks. This isn't a football show.
What do you think about this for the 5-1-0? Anthony Davis is the new Kevin Love. Everyone's crazy about him and where he's going to sign, but then he's going to get on this good team and he'll fade into a role player. Hey, that's...
Define role player,
well,
though.
Not a superstar.
I mean, how much crap did I take a couple of weeks ago when I said, well, you know, on this team, Klay Thompson almost acts as a role player.
Well, I know, but the general thought that the gentleman or woman means clearly is
you're
that
saying
Kevin
third
Love,
best player?
Kevin Love was considered a franchise player in Minnesota.
I think Anthony Davis is eons better than Kevin.
I think he is too. Yeah. But would we think that...
Light years.
Would we think that, J.D., had Love never gone to Cleveland, gotten exposed a little bit? What if Love was still in Minnesota? Maybe they went to the playoffs once in the last 2 or 3 years, and he was still getting his 25-12. Maybe we'd think of him as good as Anthony Davis.
Maybe. But I think, I mean, to me, you can't, I wouldn't even have a conversation about Anthony Davis and Kevin Love in that same vein. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's Warriors This Week. John Dickinson and Matt Steinmetz at 95.7 The Game. We got Mark Spears, senior NBA writer for ESPN's The Undefeated. Also, Tim Bontemps is going to join us coming up at 11:30. And Tim Roy, the voice of the Golden State Warriors, as the Warriors take on the Lakers coming up tonight right here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors Live will begin with Steiny and Guru from Oracle coming up at 4 o'clock. More of your phone calls, more of your texts, straight ahead here on 95.7 The Game.
Simmons has just checked back in, dribbles up front, hands off to Embiid, behind the screen three is no good, rebound Draymond, long pass to Cousins, takes a step and he dunked it down.
It's just feel, it's feel. You know, you wake up and you're so used to just doing something, you know, almost that feels naturally, and then you know, you kind of get away from it for a year, and then you know, you just kind of lose it. So just finding it again, and you know, like I said, I'm working my tail off, and just be patient.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Here from DeMarcus Cousins there. You know, Steiny, that's another layer to this onion we're going to have to get to today, is just, you know, the game-to-game nature of how has DeMarcus Cousins looked? Because I think you could make a case that the game against Philadelphia was the worst game that he's played. Also, the toughest test going up against Joel Embiid, who is just a monster and played a terrific game, even though he didn't shoot the basketball that well. 26-20 really put his imprint on the game as the Warriors got beat the other night by the Sixers at Oracle Arena. Their 11-game winning streak snapped, and the Warriors taking their 7th home loss in 25 games, which is kind of unusual, and a lot of them to some of the better teams in the Eastern Conference for sure, and in the NBA overall. But how Cousins has looked and how he continues to progress, because I think we all agree he's, for the most part, looked better than we've expected, but there comes a point in time, and I don't think we're there yet, but there comes a point in time where you're almost going to have to make a decision on how does he look against the other big boys.
Yeah.
And, you know, he really, Embiid's the only one that he's faced to this point. But once you start to, you know, get more of a sample size against some of those big boys, I think, you know, you start to determine just how effective,
no doubt,
and how much he can really help in that type
exactly.
of setting.
Exactly. At some point, we're going to go from, you know, how does Cousins look this, you know, this game, that game, the next game?
Hey, better than expected, but, you know, okay, maybe they need more from him on a night like Thursday.
Like, are we ever going to get to the point where we say, wow, the Cousins who's now playing for the Warriors is the Cousins who played for the Pelicans last year or 2 years, beginning of last year. Is that going to happen this year? The other thing that I think is interesting with Cousins is, look, we all know this is going to be an unbelievable offseason with Anthony Davis and with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. If Cousins returns to form, throw him in this list of impact free agents. I mean, DeMarcus Cousins could be a Laker next year with Anthony Davis and LeBron James. I mean, everything is on the table. From the 408, JD, I got to address this.
Yeah, I was actually going to I was going to throw this one your way as well.
Steinmetz finally comes clean. He wants the Warriors to fail. At least you're honest.
What does that mean? What did you say?
I said,
like, what could you possibly have said?
I said that I would like to see Durant go somewhere in the offseason and have the Warriors among six or so teams competing for a title.
Wait, you said that on this show?
Just now.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. I need to start listening.
Yeah, I said it about, I don't know, 20 minutes
okay.
ago.
Okay.
But that's not wanting him to fail. That's just wanting him to have some competition.
Now lock it up, JD.
Man, I don't have a dog in the hunt. I'm not playing
for
the Warriors.
You're not playing fanboy.
I'm not playing for the team either.
888-957-9570. Charlie checks in on the phones. Hey, Charlie.
Yeah, hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up, Charlie? Charlie going once. Charlie, you clear up that phone or are you out?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Nah, we got it. Yeah, Charlie, give us a call back. We can't have that. We got to get a better connection for our guy, Charlie.
He'll call back.
He'll call back. Yeah, phone line's open. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 open as well. Well, let's spend a minute or two on Cousins. What did you think of his game? Because I had the post game that night, Warriors wrap up with Guru, and you know he didn't play great.
No,
he's going up against Embiid. That's a night where you know I think I said it to Guru. If you know Klay Thompson's not going to play, then where are you going to get the third score, you know, where's that going to come from? If Curry's going to go off, and Curry did go off, 41 points, he hits 10 threes, and Durant is going to get you probably 25, even if he doesn't play all that well. And the Sixers made Durant work, I thought, you know, 25 points and 24 shots. So that, to me, is a night, and really the first night where you say, okay, DeMarcus Cousins, another all-star in the mix. If you could be the third guy that can put up 15 to 20 points on that particular night, that could really help this team maybe win a game where it would otherwise be difficult for them to win it without Klay Thompson. And Joel Embiid he handed it to him a little bit. He took it to him. He took it to Kevon Looney. I mean, he took it to everybody. But Embiid won that matchup.
No doubt. No doubt. And I also thought, I think Warrior fans will disagree with me, but I thought Ben Simmons was the best player on the floor, either him or Curry. But to me, Simmons and Embiid, I mean, they were terrific. I mean, they were really, really good. And it's one of those things where the numbers don't quite do it justice for Embiid. Because you could look at it and say, 8 for 24, 0 for 5, 8 turnovers. I mean, you could look at that game as that wasn't that great a game. But you get 26 points from the center position. That's never going to hurt you. And I do think Cousins is going to have some ups and downs in the next month or so before he. I think he's going to get some level of consistency at some point, but it might not be for till after the All-Star break, maybe into early March, something like that.
For me, it's the post moves. His timing is off. I think he's either trying to move. He's trying to move too quickly, I think, to get into his move, or he's maybe thinking about the move that he wants to use ahead of time. And it looks like there's a lot going on, and what's going on in his head isn't necessarily matching with what he's telling his body to do right now, which could be nothing more than rust and just trying to get back into shape and get back into a rhythm where you know you're going to make X or Y move. You just know it. You just get the ball and this is the move I'm going to make. Not you're thinking for that split second to tell your body to make this move, and then all of a sudden you're thinking, no, I want to make this move. It just seems like he's been caught in between.
Yeah, I think he's thinking about, and this will all be natural, by the way, I think. He's thinking about the move he's going to make, and then he decides the move he's going to make, but then he tries to make it too quick. And I think that's to be expected. He said as much in that clip we ran earlier of him. You know, he hadn't played in a month.
He hasn't played in a year.
You know, what I say, month?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you're right. He hasn't played in a year. My bad. But I do think if you take the six games and put them in a big basket, you'd say, I like where he's at. See, that's the thing. I mean, no, he didn't play well against the Sixers, but since he's been back, he's been pretty good. He's been better than I thought he was going to be. He's a little better than I thought he was.
He's been better.
Yeah.
I think he's absolutely been better. I think he's been better than anybody really would have thought. Now, is that dominant all-star center, you know, quality? No, not necessarily, but I think he's looked pretty good overall.
Yeah. It doesn't look like he's laboring at all. It doesn't even really look like he's gotten overly fatigued at times. Now, he hasn't played huge minutes, but I think they got to like where he's at right now.
Well, I think the plan has been executed to this point pretty brilliantly. The plan of, all right, he's going to play 16 minutes, he's going to play about 20, then you're working him up to 25. You know, the Warriors have had some days off in between games. No back-to-back, and the only back-to-back they're going to have before the All-Star break is the final two games before the All-Star break, where they play, the Jazz on a Tuesday night, and then they go up to Portland, so short flight, back-to-back. And then if you test him out in that back-to-back, you've got a week off for him to recover from it. So I don't think that'll be a scenario where they're going to give him a night off or anything like that. I think that's a scenario where you say, all right, you're going up against Nurkic, you're going up against Gobert, back-to-back nights, let's see what you got, big boy.
Yeah. Hey, what'd you think of the Porzingis trade?
Wild,
crazy.
I actually like it for both teams. I like it on the surface more for Dallas because I think they're going to get a damn good player once Porzingis is healthy.
And he's not going to play this year.
No, and the Mavs don't need him to play this year because they're not going anywhere this year to begin with.
But see, here's what I'm worried about with Porzingis is he's not going to play this year, and then next year is his Gordon Hayward year.
Yeah.
Where he's a shell of himself.
And then, okay.
And then that's what I'd be worried about if I were Dallas. The Knicks, you know, I could see Wes Matthews ending up on the Warriors, to tell you the truth. I mean, if Cousins over the next month or so shows that he can play 25 plus minutes a game, then I think they do turn their attention to a wing type player. If something happens to one of their big men, then that might change their plan. But
I think the Warriors have had it wrong from the jump. I mean, I've said wing, wing, wing all year long. And I think the game on Thursday is indicative of exactly what I'm talking about, exactly why I feel that way. Because I've referenced Iguodala and Livingston a lot as, well, if you got to take one of them away, what do you do in a playoff series, let's say? Well, what if Klay Thompson has to miss a game? And not that he would, and maybe if it was a playoff game, he would have played on Thursday. But here's my thing on that. If you're going to take a wing away, then that means somebody else has to step up and play more. That means McKinney's got to start, right? And then Iguodala's rotation changes, and then Quinn Cook's going to have to play when maybe Quinn Cook wasn't going to play at all. If you're telling me that the next man up in that scenario is a veteran wing player that can score a little bit, i.e. Wes Matthews, then that's having all your bases covered as far as just roster composition. You know, if you're talking about Wes Matthews almost as an extra piece, you know, and Jarebko as an extra piece because Jarebko hasn't basically been playing since Cousins has been back, and congratulations to him and his wife on having a daughter earlier this week as well. So Jarebko a little bit out of the mix. But if you're talking about those guys being your ninth and your tenth, look out.
Oh, I mean, and the funny thing is there's a lot of people that don't like this players kind of dictating where they're going. I think a bigger problem are the buyouts. The buyouts where loaded teams get more loaded if they need to. And the teams, why would the Knicks not want why would the Knicks want those guys to play and help them win games right now? They don't want that. So I could see those guys getting bought out.
No, I could too. And where they end up, that is something that factors into the balance of power, as you mentioned.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.